the part of building that sense of persona, who am I really? What's my authentic self? Then I want to know, what does trust look like for me? How do I show up and look? So I start with that. That's the first building block. And then the second one might be, how can I connect with you in a way that feels lasting and real? Or how can I tell you a hard truth that you need to know? But if, as a friend of mine used to say, a CEO of a small business used to say, if I have trust with my employees, there's nothing I can't tell them. If we don't have trust, nothing I say will make any difference.
What if you could step out of the day-to-day and see your business from a whole new perspective? Welcome to Above the Business, where we empower you to rise above the daily grind and embrace a higher way of business ownership. Get ready to build your business by design.
Welcome to another episode of the Above the Business podcast. My name is Bradley Hammer, your host. On today's episode, we have a fantastic guest, Nick Morgan. He is a guest lecturer at Harvard Business School and is an expert on executive presence, body language, and some of the things that we really have not talked about on this podcast very much. I love coming at just different topics and things. And so we get into a lot of different things that, for me personally, I took a ton of takeaways. And one of the most important is just an awareness of my body language and how I'm showing up, not just the words that I say, but also how I show up and what my body language is actually saying. He has got some great frameworks that I think you're going to get a ton out of this episode to help you in your small business journey. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Nick Morgan.
Ambition is the first step towards success. It's time to level up your agency. And Coach P Consulting will help you do just that by using the same strategies he used to sell over 700 life insurance policies in 2021 alone. Now, this is not your regular one-and-done type coaching. You'll get personalized coaching 2 days a week, every week of the month, and you'll get a live look behind the scenes of his team training and an office that's performing at the highest level. There's a reason Coach P Consulting is the fastest growing coaching company for insurance agency owners in the country. Coach P will train your team alongside his own and show you the exact steps they are taking to achieve Chairman Circle, Exotic Travel, and Multi-Line Presence Club, and be one of the few agents to be selected to have a third office. So whether your goal is to be at the top of your local market or amongst the best in the country, this training will give you the strategies and the tactics to get there. For just $250 a month, you'll get high-level coaching each week from someone who is already getting it done at that level, and his strategies work, and it's time to put them to work for you. Sign up at coachpconsulting.com and get your first full month for free when you mention the Club Capital Leadership Podcast.
Nick, welcome to the Above the Business Podcast.
Bradley, it's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, it's great to have you. We love to start with background and origin story. Why don't you, people not familiar with you, take us back. How did you get to kind of where you are today? Tell us a little bit about Nick.
I was tobogganing at age 17. And those of you who are not from snowy climes from cold parts of the United States or the world may not know what tobogganing is, but it's basically trusting for luck, sliding down on a board that you can't steer down an icy slope and hoping to heck you get to the bottom safely. Well, at age 17, I didn't. I fractured my skull by crashing into a tree, and I was in a coma for a week. And during that coma, I died briefly, literally for 5 minutes. And it was just like in the movies, they came in with the paddles and shocked me back to consciousness. When I awoke, I couldn't do the thing that all of your listeners and viewers can do, which is you can read the body language of people that you know well, your longtime friends, your family, loved ones, people that you've known for a long time. You can effortlessly read their body language. There's a misunderstanding about how well we can read the body language of strangers, and the bad news is we can't do it very well, but there's a lot of myth out there in the world of you can learn to sort of spot tells and things like that. That's a snare and a delusion. Don't believe in that because everybody's tells are different. You don't know in advance what they are. But we do know the tells and the signals and the expressions of emotion of people that we love and people that we've known for a long time. I could no longer do that. I could no longer read something about the accident caused me to be unable to do that. As a result, I started on a lifetime mission to figure that out more in more detail and more thoroughly than anybody else had before. And while most people then, your audience in as a good example, can read these body language signals unconsciously. I ended up with the blessing and the curse of being able to read them consciously and unconsciously at the same time because I had to relearn it. So hence my fascination with communications of all kinds, but especially what we call the second conversation, body language, or the intent conversation.
When I was preparing for this podcast, I was looking at some of your content. One of the very first things, you mentioned this before we hit record, you were talking about influence and persuasion. And I've heard this say that leadership is influence, but I've never had someone be able to take that and say, okay, what does that mean? What do I do with that information, right? I mean, it's one of those quips that we hear in leadership and small business and reading a book. And I'm like, okay, now what do I do with that? I want to be a better leader. As a matter of fact, I'm not joking. I got a message from a client this morning. He's had a great year in his business. And he specifically said, I really want to be a better leader in 2026. That's all he said. He just, I want to be a better leader in 2026. And so there's a lot of people out there from the time that this is going to drop that they're going to be wanting to improve in their leadership, whether they have a team of four or 40, they're going to want to improve. Nick, what are the things that you believe go into influence, persuasion, and leadership in business?
Well, let's start with the most important thing. Leaders have to be communicators. We have to communicate our vision for the business. We have to communicate with our employees. We have to communicate with our clients or customers. So we're in the communications business. And as soon as I say that, I'm on home turf because that's my world. And I always say every communication is always two conversations. So this is where I start. On the one hand is the content. It's what you say. So when we sell, when we persuade, when we talk to people, when we explain to employees what they need to be doing, we're talking content. But at the same time, and here's where it starts to get interesting, we're also trying to have a second conversation with them, which is our intent conversation. So content and intent. And content is the words we say. Intent is largely communicated through the body language. Why is that important? Because as small business owners and leaders, we have an enormous to-do list in our head. There's always more to do. There's always more that we're thinking about. We're worried about revenue. We're worried about customers. We're worried about employees. We're worried about everything. We're worried about the future of the planet. Whatever it is that's on our minds, there's a lot that can affect our business. So we've always got that going on in our head. And that shows up in your body language. And it shows up in subtle ways, but it suggests to the person that we're talking to that while I may be apparently paying attention to you, listening to you, telling you nice things, so the content conversation may be going on, but my intent conversation is going to be a little distracted. And you're going to pick up on that more or less depending on how bad my day is going. I might be fidgety. I might be turned toward the door while I'm talking to you. Like I look like I want to get out of there and get on to the next thing. So there are a number of subtle and not so subtle ways that that second conversation can suggest that I am not focused on you at this moment. And if you want to build trust, if you want to have successful communications with people, you need to eliminate that to-do list in your head. And you need to be able to focus in the moment on that one person or that one group in front of you and not have that mental chatter distracting you. And that's a difficult thing to do. It's a discipline. It's something that I write and talk about a lot, how to control that second conversation so that it supports the first one so that you can be fully present in the room and be an effective leader.
How would someone go about doing that if they don't have you watching them? In other words, what I'm getting at is the difficulty of us being able to see ourselves, to be able to self-assess in the moment. I'll give you an analogy. What my son is now in ninth grade, he's playing JV basketball. And so in the last, maybe latter part of last year in travel basketball, when the games were over, I flipped it. And the very first thing when he comes after meeting with the team, he comes over and we sit down, we talk. I have him self-assess first. What did you do well? What can you improve upon? Because I used to obviously be like, okay, here's all the things you got. Here's all the things I didn't like. And I've tried to mature on that to get him to be able to self-assess. Okay, now back to business. sometimes we don't even realize how we're actually coming across. I want to be across it, but it's hard to be able to kind of see myself.
Yeah. And it's almost guaranteed that the last thing we see is the thing that stands most to other people. It's we're least aware of whatever our biggest stumbling blocks are. So here's a simple trick or hack to begin this work, which is just pick one meeting for the day, the most important meeting that you have today, let's say. And before that meeting, shut everything down for 3 minutes and just focus on what's coming up in that meeting. What is it I want to get out of the meeting? How do I feel about the meeting? And what are the emotions and attitudes I want to bring to that meeting that are appropriate for it? So, am I excited to be talking to this person? Am I angry at, am I frustrated about something that's been going on that I need to clear up, that I've been putting off for too long? What's the real emotion there? So I want to focus on that emotion, and I want to focus on my desired outcomes for the meeting. And that's it. And if I spend a few minutes thinking about that, that's going to help. That's going to begin the process of me focusing and reduce the mental chatter. But if you don't take those couple of minutes to focus before the meeting, then you're just going to walk in with the to-do list. And then it's you're shooting craps, basically, as the attitude is that you bring in. And remember, most of this, that second conversation that I'm describing, the body language conversation, most of that is sent unconsciously and received unconsciously. So you're not even aware of it consciously. And the result is that it can be more powerful, can have more effect because neither party is aware of it. Because it just goes straight to the unconscious mind and begins to influence how you feel.
Executive presence is something that I actually don't think that we've legitimately talked about on the podcast before that I can recall. What is executive presence? And is that something that can be taught, learned, acquired? Can you improve it?
Yeah, I love that question, because we used to believe that executive presence, or charisma, another word for it, was something like fairy dust that some people got sprinkled with, some famous actors, some politicians, and the rest of us, we didn't get so lucky, so we're just ordinary people. It turns out that it's something that can be measured and improved, and there's a group at MIT just up the street from me that has studied this, and it turns out it's made of two things. A warmth and expertise. Simplest way to think about it is, if I can show up to a meeting with a lot of warmth, meaning I'm creating trust with you and building trust, I help you feel comfortable. By the end of the meeting, you feel like you trust me. And if I can show up with expertise at the same time, then I'm going to have a lot of executive presence. I'm going to be charismatic to you. And if you think about it, different settings can call for more or less warmth or more or less expertise. The example I always use is, if you've got a back to school night, let's say you're going to go talk to the class of your ninth grader there and say what you do, then you're probably not going to get into the technicalities of how recordings work and all the details of the equipment that you use, right? Because that's, with ninth graders, you've got a limited ability to understand that, although some of them are pretty technologically apt these days. So you're going to have one level of expertise in talking to kids and another level in talking to your peers, let's say. Or if you were part of a larger organization, you were briefing the executive team, then you'd want to go heavy on the expertise and you wouldn't worry so much about the warmth. But in thinking about warmth, the job of that aspect of communications is to create trust. And trust is the shorthand. It's the essential shorthand that we all work with from day to day. We instantly create assessments of trust. We do it largely unconsciously with our unconscious minds. We're reasonably accurate at it, but we're not perfect at it. And so it's something that needs to be checked all the time. But business can't happen without trust. And that's really the first thing that happens when, as a small business owner, I decide to hire somebody, or I decide to, or I go out and try to persuade to buy something from me. The currency between us is trust. If they trust me, they're more likely to buy. If I trust the employee, I'm more likely to make the hiring offer. So trust is the essence of it.
Where do you believe confidence falls in within that too? You mentioned warmth and expertise, but where do you believe like genuine confidence in Which I guess it would be the opposite of where I'm getting at is the opposite of like imposter syndrome. I don't even know if business owners necessarily even say that per se. I think that they can be, say things like, I'm in over my head. I think imposter syndrome maybe is a label around it. I think more it's like, I don't know how to handle this. I've never dealt with this before. And so therefore they start doubting themselves, right? They start to lose mm-hmm. their confidence because their company, their organization had a tough 2025 as an example. And so then they start looking into 2026, but then the reality is like, we struggled. Oh, we legitimately struggled. And so my mm-hmm. confidence has been shaken and weighed. Where does that fall in with the executive presence?
It falls on the expertise side, but it's a great way to think about what expertise is required of a small business owner. And that's what makes it so difficult because we have to wear so many hats. Mm. And if we work for a Fortune 500 company, we'd have an executive team, all of whom were specializing in different things. So I wouldn't have to be the expert on, say, IT or finance. I could be the marketing guy, right? And that's all I have to know about. And so I might feel more comfortable if I just had one area to specialize in. But as a small business owner, you got to know it all. You got to know a little about a lot of things anyway.
Yeah, you do.
So that kind of expertise can easily get shaken because, as you say, I loved your thought experiment there. You had a great or not so good 2025. How do I know what's going to happen in 2026? You think you know your market. You think you know your customers. But what if it changes? And suddenly that sense of comfort and expertise that, hey, I know what's happening in this world. I know how to sell potatoes or whatever it is I'm selling. Then if that goes away, then that shakes you to the core. So yeah, that's the challenge.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you struggling to turn clicks into clients and grow your business with confidence? Well, DirectClicks has helped over 1,000 businesses increase their lead volume by an average of 300%. Built by business owners, for business owners, DirectClicks specializes in custom marketing solutions that deliver real results. From paid search campaigns and performance max to SEO and social media management, they provide the comprehensive digital marketing your business needs to grow. Here's an exclusive offer for our listeners to the Above the Business podcast. If you visit directclicksinc.com/above the business, you'll get a free marketing campaign audit. They'll assess your website, social media, SEO, content, and paid advertising. Then they'll provide actionable recommendations. Plus, when you choose to partner with them, they'll waive all your setup fees. Don't miss this opportunity to grow your business with proven marketing strategies with DirectClicks. DirectClicksinc.com/above the business.
Are you an agency owner looking to grow your revenue, increase your bottom line, and better manage your taxes? Club Capital is here to help. Club Capital is the largest accounting and advisory firm for insurance agents in the country, providing monthly accounting, tax strategy, and CFO services. Way more than bookkeeping and your everyday run-of-the-mill tax prep, Club Capital is focused on providing financial and tax advisory services that help you plan and forecast your agency's performance. Their financial dashboards and agency forecasting tools help you better understand your agency's historical performance, create and measure future targets, and see how your agency compares to your peers around the country. Imagine what it would be like to understand the impact to your bottom line when deciding to hire a new employee, or forecast the impact rate changes or commission rates will have on your business. With over $200 million in tracked annual revenue and $140 million in tracked annual expenses, Club Capital has the data and the team to help you make better informed decisions for your agency. They will help you turn that back office stress into the backbone of your agency's success by giving you the tools to take your agency and your leadership to the next level. Visit club.capital today to book a solution overview with one of our business consultants. Club Capital, way more than a CPA firm.
Let's take one of my clients that actually literally said that, and he came to you, and maybe this is an opportunity for you to share some of the work that you do at Harvard, but they come to one of your classes and he says, look, I want to be a better leader in 2026. How would you go about talking, asking the questions, helping him to try to both figure out what that would actually look like and then devise some sort of a plan for him to do that?
I always start with the idea of a persona. By the time you get to be a leader of a small business, you developed a personality. You're not a kid anymore. You've got some patterns and habits and ways of expressing yourself. We want to work with those to make you the best version of yourself that you can be, because it's just too hard work to pretend to be somebody else. So let's say Tony Robbins is your hero, and you think, I could be successful if I was more like Tony Robbins. Well, that effort you put into making yourself more like Tony Robbins in terms of communication, at least how you show up as a leader. Lovely idea, but basically I'm here to say it's a waste of time, because you need to be the best you can be, not the second best Tony Robbins. As cool as he is, he's his own guy and we're somebody else. And I worked with enough people over the years to know if I can figure out what is their essence, what's the thing that makes them tick, then what's at core, how do they need to show up, then we can distill the essence of that. And that is going to be more interesting and more powerful and more charismatic than trying to be a second-rate somebody else. So that's where we start, is who are you and what are your strengths and weaknesses? I can give you an example. I had a call from a gentleman who was, he wasn't a small business owner, but he was a cog in a large machine, a large energy company. But the story still works in that he had just been promoted to this SVP position. And he'd been at the company for 25 years, so it wasn't like they didn't know who he was. But they told him after 6 months on this new job, they were going to fire him. And that's when he called me. And I said, why are they firing you? They know who you are, right? They must have promoted you knowing your strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I didn't really have to motivate people in my previous jobs. I had small teams that I ran. We had areas of expertise we focused on. But now, as an SVP, I've got 3,000 people reporting to me. They tell me I have to motivate them. I have no idea how to motivate people. Can you help me? So I said, sure, because I'm a consultant and that's what we say. But I'm thinking, I don't know. What's your problem? What are your strengths and weaknesses? So he shows up at my office and we sit down at this conference room table, their standard one, you know, the brown wooden table that has 12 chairs around it, right? And every other executive I worked with who comes into that conference room looks around and sits with their back to the wall, their face to the door in the middle of the conference room table. And it's because they're instinctively taking a power seat. They want to be able to control. It's like you've got the comms, right? This character went and sat down at the far end. It's the strangest thing I'd ever seen in terms of initial body language reaction, right? And as we're talking, he's not making eye contact. He's staring down at the table. It's the strangest thing. And finally, I said, let's call him Mike. Mike, your behavior, forgive me, is really odd. You're behaving as if you want to be invisible. What's up with that? And there was something about the word invisible that triggered him. He started crying. And it turned out he had been bullied. This took a long time to get the story out, but when it finally did, he had been bullied as a teenager while he was in high school by an older boy who was much physically, much bigger than him. A tragic story. His small town, he couldn't escape. And so he just sort of withdrew into himself, like the fetal position, literally. And his body language became very shut down. He tended not to make eye contact with people. He tended to round his shoulders. So he had created this shell around him that was preventing him from connecting with people. And yet inside was this thoughtful, intelligent guy. He'd been running teams for years. He knew his stuff. He knew what he was doing. So I said, trust me, just do what I do. And I showed him how to open up his posture and body language. And I said, for the first 2 weeks that we were working together, go back to your office and just think about keeping your body language open and your posture upright. That's it. So I was just switching him from this to that. I said, I don't want you thinking about anything else. Call me in 2 weeks. Tell me how it's gone. So he calls in 2 weeks. I said, how's it going? He says, you bastard. I said, what? He said, I'm in pain. I said, what do you mean you're in pain? He said, the pain, I'm using these muscles in the back of my shoulders there to keep myself upright. I haven't used them in 30 years. He said, I'm in pain. My muscles hurt. And he's laughing. And he says, you know, it's the weirdest thing. Meeting after meeting, people come up to me afterwards and they say, Mike, did you get a new haircut? Mike, did you change your wardrobe? And they ask him these irrelevant questions, but they knew something was different. They couldn't put their finger on what it was. And the reason is that we don't care about body language per se. So they didn't literally notice the change in body language. What we care about is the intent that the body language reveals. And we humans care about that very much. We care about, what's your intent toward me, Bradley? You care about the reverse. When we meet people, we want to know, can we trust them? What's their intent toward me? Are they going to be friendly or not, right? Are they going to work with me or not? So we care about intent a lot. So we study the body language unconsciously, but we don't retain it. We just jump right to interpreting what the intent is. And so people were interpreting his intent differently because his body language was different, but they weren't remembering, they weren't noticing that he was sitting up for the first time in many, many years. All they were picking up on was that, hey, there's a new open version of Mike that's going on here. What's that about? Did he get a new haircut? Did he have his face lifted? What was happening to him? And they tended to ask questions about sort of physical things like that because that was simple. But what was really going on was he was transforming the way he was presenting himself to the world. And he was gradually saying, no, I can open up. I can connect with you and I can create trust. And the good news is he saved his job.
I want to ask then, I think this is probably the most important question to be able to then ask on that, is that going into different scenarios. I have a difficult conversation with a team member I've got to make today. Yesterday, we did one of our bigger workshops in the year. Now, it happened to be over Zoom, but the bottom line, it was an annual planning workshop. There's all of these different scenarios that I'll find myself, both in person and virtually. Is there maybe multiple different body language poses that I need to learn? Is there, I do what you said earlier, I actually take 2 minutes, I reflect on the meeting. What I actually want to get out of this meeting? What is, I need to fire someone. I want to make sure that I am leading strongly here into this conversation. I'm wanting to convince someone to buy my product or service, right? I'm going into a big sales conversation. I would assume that there are different body language poses, et cetera, and maybe that's not the right word, that I would want to carry and match to the outcome that I have for the meeting. How do I learn this?
Yeah, it's a great question because it could sound daunting if you thought that, yeah, for every scenario, I need to learn a different body language posture, if you will. That's really the hard way to think about it. Let's put it that way. The easier way or the simpler way to think about it, the conceptually simpler way to think about it is to think, how do I want to show up? How do I want to be perceived? What's the attitude I want to convey? Now, that will turn out to be simpler most of the time because usually it starts with, I want to create trust in a situation. Not always. In the case of firing somebody, then you're going to show up with a slightly different attitude. But you still want to appear as a trustworthy person. That's sort of a basic of business. And so the part of building that sense of persona, who are you, not the Tony Robbins, the mini-me, the poor Tony Robbins, but who am I really? What's my authentic self? Then I want to know, what does trust look like for me? How do I show up and look? And so I start with that. That's the first building block. And then the second one might be, how can I connect with you in a way that feels lasting and real? Or how can I tell you a hard truth that you need to know? But if, as a friend of mine used to say, a CEO of a small business used to say, if I have trust with my employees, there's nothing I can't tell them. If we don't have trust, nothing I say will make any difference. And that's so true. So it begins with that. So the base thing you need to learn is, what does trustworthy Bradley look like? And you need to get grounded in that. And then you can figure out the plays on that, the second and third order body language states. When you get into specific body language, you don't want to overdo it because it can be multi-determined. For example, everybody's probably learned folding your arms like this, like you can see, can look resistant. You're not happy to be there or you're not open or whatever. So we all learn that. But it can also mean you're cold or you're tired and this is comfortable. It's a way of sort of resting in place. So it's always good to remember body language is multi-determined, meaning there could be a lot of reasons for it. But that said, if you think about your hand gestures on a horizontal axis, when we feel self-conscious or we feel defensive, we find ways to bring our hands together because this is self-protective. If I have my hands here, you can't punch me in the stomach. It's really as simple and primeval as that, okay? I can protect myself. So to create trust with people, I need to open up. I need to show I trust them. And so on a horizontal axis, this says, I trust you. I'm open to you. I am comfortable. This says, I'm feeling a little self-conscious, or I don't feel quite safe in here, or for whatever reason, I need to be slightly self-protective. Okay. And so you can focus on your own gestures and begin to open up your gestures. Just begin by just noticing. Typically, what are you doing? And a lot of people you'll find spend a lot of time doing this. So a first step into creating a more open, trustworthy version of you is to think about opening up the gestures. And when I teach this at Harvard, I'll have people talk to each other like this, do a little role play or a little experiment. And I'll say, how does that feel? And they say, it feels really awkward and weird.
Really?
Yeah. And it's because they're not used to doing it. And yet this sends a closed message. This sends an open one. And so if you could train yourself to get more comfortable like this, then a funny thing happens. You begin to create more trust with people, but you also begin to open up more yourself. So you'll feel more trustworthy because you're more open. You've got less to hide, or you're not carrying around as much that you're trying to hide from the world.
I can find myself, I mean, you see me even do this. I tend to maybe not do it with both hands, but maybe oftentimes with, if I was standing with you, I could maybe have one hand in my pocket or something, more of a casual, and then I'll kind of talk with one hand this in this way. Is that sending half of an open message because I'm using one? I mean, what's your take on that? Now we're getting into body language.
We're getting into body language, yeah, which is my happy place. I love to play in this sandbox. But the quick answer to what you're talking about is you do that because it's comfortable. So that's how you feel. But the message you send to other people when you have one hand in your pocket is we start getting curious about why is that hand hiding away from us? And the classic one is people who put both hands behind their back when they're giving a speech. For a while, there were actually speech coaches who said, you know, put your hands behind your back. And we called it the Prince Charles, back when he was Prince gesture. And the reason for that was Prince Charles was such a nervous speaker. His hands literally shook. But you couldn't have the heir to the English throne standing in front of people doing as he had to do every day, talking to them with their hands shaking. You know, this was not a good look. So the only solution they could come up with was put your hands behind your back, Prince Charles. So he did. And then because he was a prince and a famous person, everybody thought that was a good thing to imitate. It's not, because we wonder what your hands are doing behind there. We don't trust you. Again, so creating trust means bringing your hands out in front of you and then opening up.
Makes sense. Yeah. I think it's fascinating. There was, I'm a sports nut, and my collegiate team just hired a new football coach, and he gave his introductory press conference 2 days ago. And there's been a lot made of some of the words that he's used in the past, which has been good. But to your point, I was watching body language. I wanted to see how he was carrying himself. I wanted to see how he was shaking hands with certain people and a certain level of presence in the SEC college football. I mean, you're running a multi-hundreds of million-dollar organization. I mean, you have to have a certain level of executive presence, to say the least, right? I mean, you're coaching the alphas of the alphas that are out there. And so there's a level with that. And I think that's important. I think the same thing is true with business. Nick, this is fascinating. I know people are going to want to learn more about you, connect with you, find out about your work. Where would you point people to?
To the website. It's www.publicwordswithad.com. And we have a lot of resources on there, a lot of free information about communications. I've been blogging forever, since started in 2007. So there are literally 2,000 blog posts on there. And you can search for almost any topic, like you want to, what to do with your hands, or how to handle your nerves, or how to show up with executive presence. Just type those into the search function and there's a blog post on it. It also has information about books I've written and ways to get in touch with me. So publicwordswithad.com.
Last question. What does your small business owner yourself, you work with executive leaders of very large, medium, and even small businesses. What do you think working above the business means to you?
I spend a lot of time, and I hope it's not a waste of time, trying to figure out where the business is going, because I work with professional speakers, thought leaders, and executives, and everybody wants to know what's going to be the next big thing, right? And so we always have to be up with the latest trends and intellectual issues and whatnot. And just take a perfect example. Right now, of course, everybody knows AI is the big thing, right? Everybody's either afraid of it or embracing it or both. So how long is that going to last? Because people who labored in obscurity for many years as experts in AI, nobody cared about it. Suddenly now they're having big checks waved in front of them saying, you come and speak, we'll pay you $50,000 to talk about AI for an hour. That's really tempting. But what about if I change my business and I decide I'm going to go all out on that, and then within 6 months, nobody cares about AI anymore? Then what do you do? So my job is to advise people like that. So I spend a lot of time trend spotting. So working above the business for me means thinking about what's going on in the world and what's going to happen next. And that's why I have gray hairs.
That reminds me of like the Gretzky quote where he says, I didn't skate to the puck, I skated to where the puck was going. And I think that that is exactly what you're sharing there.
Yeah, that's my job.
Nick, I think a couple of things that I wrote down was like big takeaways for me. One of the things is leaders are communicators. I love that. I wrote that down. The second is when you talked about content being the words, intent being the body language. And I think the third, I tend to kind of write down two or three larger takeaways from each episode for me personally, is just the awareness of my body language. I think if for people listening to this, for me personally, for the rest of today, and my hope is I can be a little bit more aware of it consciously in the way that I show up on a Zoom or on a with my teams, that just to have an awareness of that and what I'm doing with my hands, et cetera. I think it's a fascinating discussion. I appreciate you the way that you brought kind of a high level topic down to something practical for us. Nick, thanks for coming on the podcast.
A great pleasure, Bradley. Thanks for having me.
Well, I really enjoyed that episode with Nick. I want to give a shout out to our podcast brand and Above the Business sponsors, Coach P Consulting, Autopilot Recruiting, Direct Clicks, and Club Capital. Team is so important. You know, obviously, we believe business is a team sport. And so leading your team with an executive presence in 2026 and obviously beyond starts with having a team of A players. First, you want to be able to go work with someone that is experienced in doing this very thing. Go to autopilotrecruiting.com, autopilotrecruiting.com. Secondly, we want to develop those people. Coaching, training, developing in some of the industries, you think you're in a certain industry, the industry you're actually in is in a recruiting, training, and development business. That's what most of your businesses are. I hope you see that. Many of you, you think you're in the insurance business. You're not in the insurance business. You're in the training, the recruiting, training, development company. And so Coach P can help you to train and develop your team members and you as well. CoachPConsulting.com, CoachPConsulting.com. Marketing is a big topic for small business owners, and it can feel like the wild, wild west in the digital space. Not if you work with DirectClicks. Go to directclicksinc.com/above the business. directclicksinc.com/above the business. They will help take all those questions you have about SEO, PPC, social media, et cetera, and give you the answers that you need with a trusted, verified company that is one of the best in the business. directclicksinc.com/above the business. As you get into the end of the year, you can start to turn your attention to your financials. And if you want to be able to be on top of your financials in 2026, none better than Club Capital. Go to club.capital. All right, everyone, enjoyed that episode with Nick Morgan on executive presence, influence, persuasion, body language. Hope that served you well. Till next time, lead well, go be great.